In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to Money Please Loose Change. You know how when you are sorting through all the bags that you never touch in the back of your closet, and then you take your old Longchamp bag from college and you shake it and a bunch of coins fall out and you're just like, ugh. Thank you, financial gods. That's the feeling we're hoping to give you with this little bonus episode. I'm Berna Anat, also known as @HeyBerna, your personal financial hype woman, bringing you the financial real talk for the real world. I hope you can hear through the mic, my air quotes, because nothing's real. Today, I am joined once again by the incredible Sally Krawcheck, co-founder and CEO of Elevest. And also, I mean, talk about this. We really need to, like you said, double click, zoom in on this. Someone who is known as the most powerful woman on Wall Street is a big title, but I know that you live up to it. Sally, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be with you. Thank you.
Yes. So we talked so much this week about financial wellness, what it means, why it's incredibly important for women to get into their financial wellness, not be afraid of it. And now I know that people listen to that first episode and they're like, okay, I need Auntie Sally in my life some more in general, because we have such a lack of incredible female financial idols and people to look after and ancestors in that way. So can you tell us a little bit more about your own journey in the world of finances and how you've gotten to where you are today?
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking. So I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. How in the world I got to Wall Street, I sometimes said, how did that happen? And it mostly happened because I was a journalism major. And you didn't make any money in those days as a journalist, writing for a traditional newspaper. Yes. But you did make some money working on Wall Street. And then on top of that, my father forbid me to move to New York and work on Wall Street. So I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to New York and work on Wall Street. Yes. And so I really did it, even though I know, and we were talking on the other episode, how it's viewed as tacky for women to want money and unfeminine, and certainly in that day, but I wanted money. I didn't want to have a power imbalance in my life with my partner as my parents did, who were totally in love, completely in love, but they fought about money and they fought hard about money. And so I really started off with, I want to have that power. I want to have that autonomy. I want to be able to buy the dress without having to explain why I bought the dress to anybody in my life. And so I didn't love a lot, you know, my first several years on Wall Street. I despised it, but was fortunate enough to find my way into parts of Wall Street that are really about helping people and now about helping women get more money. You know, the Elevest mission is to get more money in the hands of women. And I feel like I was born to do this.
Incredible. I think one thing that you said that really sort of is now like etched on my brain like a tattoo is I want money. I want to be rich. I want to be wealthy, which I think a lot of women, a lot of for myself as a child of immigrants, first gen Filipina, a lot of us have problems saying, I love money. I want money. I want to be rich. You know, there's this, I mean, like you said in the on our last episode in connection with all the feelings women have about money, like, I think a lot of people are listening to this and being like, is it okay for me to say that I really, really want money too? Because we know all the money is evil and capitalism is the worst, but also like, damn, it feels good to have that kind of power. So what would you say to women who are like, I wish I could just yell that also, but I feel weird?
Well, whisper it to yourself then. You know, I mean, it might be strange, but you know, it continues not just for those who are listening, but I was literally on a retreat back in May when it started to look like COVID was, you know, we were just on those last legs. On that retreat were a handful of us, two literal women billionaires, literal, who self-made. And both of them, when we did the go round, introduced themselves, made a point of saying they didn't do it for the money.
Interesting.
I know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, even when you're that successful. And I think we can all imagine it, right? If they'd said, you know, I started this company and blah, 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 and I did it for the money. We'd be like, you know.
Oh God.
So we need to normalize this.
Yes.
We need to normalize it. If it's okay for men to want money, then it's got to be okay for non-binary individuals and women to want money too. So say it softly first until we can get everybody, the whispers get too very loud.
Yes. I mean, some days I'm saying it softly to myself. Some days I'm looking at the inequalities of the world and the very clear fact that money equals power. And I'm part of many, many groups that have been powerless. Of course I should be shouting that I want power. Why wouldn't I? I want to bring it back to younger Sally. It also very much speaks to me that you were in journalism and communications, because so was I. And so when people say that in the finance world, I'm like, okay, so I didn't have to be like a money fiend from the beginning to see myself in the money world. Makes me feel very seen. There are lots of folks, of course, in their 20s and 30s listening to this podcast. What do you think you needed to hear when you were struggling with your own finances, or maybe struggling on Wall Street in your 20s and 30s? What do you think folks in their 20s and 30s need to hear that they're not hearing, maybe that you didn't hear?
Yeah, look, I made all the mistakes. First of all, I wish somebody said, don't marry him.
Oh,
that would have been helpful information.
Hot tea.
Then once I married him, I wish somebody had said, do not let him control the money, because when you're now my ex-husband, hooks up with now my ex-friend. And I realized, and I felt like I had the rug completely pulled out from under me.
Right.
And I didn't feel like I didn't know if I could trust him on anything. And then he had all the money.
Oh my God.
And could I even afford to divorce him? And by the way, I was working on Wall Street. I was working on Wall Street. I mean, it just was unfathomable to me. So I wish somebody had said, just, first of all, skip the first marriage, go straight to the second.
Walk past him. Walk right
keep
past
going.
Him. Oh my
keep going.
That's incredible. And I mean, what a testimonial also to financial wellness in and of yourself, because you never know what's going to happen, especially in your 20s and 30s. You think that the story is set and done, and then oops.
I thought we were going to, I mean, we were so in love. We had to get married in our 20s. That's how in love we were. Yes. For sure, you know, we were going to die holding hands.
Uh-huh.
You just don't know, because we all change every decade.
Yes.
Let's hope you change together in a way that's complementary. But no, but, you know, very few people walk down the aisle and say, I'm pretty much getting divorced. But it happens to half of them. Right?
Yes, 100%. And that should be so many other ringing endorsements for getting your financial life together, is you never know where we're going to end up. And at the end of any relationship, at the end of any social situation, you still got to pay rent. And if your financial situation is effed, then you are effed. Thank you for sharing that. I'm very inspired by that for sure. I want to talk a little bit about how you've seen the financial space, especially the financial education space, change in the last decade or so, since you've been there from the beginning, watching, being one of the first women to speak out loud about money and then bust out and co-found a company specifically for women and investing. I, as a financial educator myself, but one who's sort of come up on the social media, Instagram and YouTube, what are your thoughts on things like finance TikTok? Is it a force for good? You know, lots of young people are like, I'm learning about, like we were saying in the last episode, I'm learning about meme stock through this TikToker. And I'm getting really excited about game stock as opposed to, you know, budgeting and saving and debt. What are your thoughts on that whole space?
Well, definitely a few thoughts. The good news is we are moving away from financial education as shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who didn't love, I adore Susie Orman, who didn't love watching her shame people for spending too much?
Sure.
You know, the voyeurism of the, what do you mean you're only making X and you want to go on this kind of trip? You know, So the more, now it's not totally gone, because as we've discussed before, most of the money articles to women are about scrimping and saving and coupon clipping. So there's still that scarcity and that shame.
Yes.
But what you got to love about some of these new finfluencers is there's a joy to it.
Yeah.
Right. And fun to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that that is shifting. I like the fact that we are losing the jargon on it, because for so long it was, if I could, you know, if I, not me, but one could use a lot of jargon, then you got to pay me. a lot of money to manage your money for you.
Totally.
Or you had to, you know, friggin' slog through some personal finance magazine, which is, you know, what is more interesting than that?
Oh, gosh.
Answer, everything.
Anything.
Okay? Everything. So what you got to be careful about now, I know you want, now I'm going to do the grandma thing. What you got to be careful about with the TikToks, et cetera, is, you know, they are bits of information. Mm-hmm. They're not the full picture.
Yeah.
And they do tend to make trading sexy, the mm-hmm. meme stocks sexy, Bitcoin sexy.
Yes.
That's great. They're sexy when they're going up. Mm. But these are very volatile.
Yeah.
I am okay with you trading Bitcoin. Mm. Just take the money from the annual trip to Las Vegas and do it with that, not with your retirement savings, because okay. these things, the meme stocks, et cetera, are not trading on fundamentals. They're trading on what you think, you know, it's supply demand, people get excited, et cetera. So they're trading on air.
Yes.
So it's okay, but just do that. You got to floss your teeth. Right. So you got to invest, you got to put money in the 401k. You need to invest in a diversified investment portfolio. You need to do those, you know, hygienic basics
yes.
before you go have your adrenaline rush from, you know, trading.
Yes. 100%. It both makes me super, super excited that my teenage nieces are like, auntie, what's mm-hmm. up with meme stocks? Like, what is this mm-hmm. whole thing about GameStop? I'm like, I love that we're having this conversation. Let's mm. have 17 other conversations before that, though, because right. do you know what to do with your first paycheck? Do you know mm-hmm. how to set right. up for your future self? And then, like you said, we can shave money off of the annual Santorini mm-hmm. fantasy trip and then sprinkle it all up into the investing, the mm-hmm. apps and the trading, which is mm-hmm. Gives me so much pleasure.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I wanted to ask you, as Sally, and also as Sally as Esther. So if y'all listened to the first episode, Sally and I talked about our retired selves, our retired bad B selves and their names. And, you know, Esther and Bernadette may be friends in the future at some point. What are you, Sally, excited about on your road to Esther right now? Like, what is in your financial life that is inspiring you or exciting you or even in the financial space that's making you go like, yes, Esther, like we're heading to a good place?
I got to tell you, my job, you know, I've had jobs that I've been screamed at. I've been sexually harassed. Mm. You know, I've been pawed. I've been dismissed. I've been fired. I've been fired again. Mm. I mean, I've had jobs that were just, you know, just deadening. Mm. I founded Elevest.
Yeah.
I don't know that I jump out of bed every morning, but I have never experienced anything like this before. As we talked about before, money is women's number one source of stress. Taking action on it is the number one driver of women's confidence in their future. It is that simple. Remember, in kindergarten, take a frown and turn it upside down. It's a smile.
Yeah.
You can take that stress and turn it into confidence. Mm. And as Elevest has become better known, and I've walked down the street with an Elevest bag, I'll have women stop me. Are you part of Elevest? And thank me. I had one woman make me hug her, which was a little odd. You know, okay, I'm like, hey, COVID, right. You know, let's say, you know, but okay, fine. One woman touched my hair. That was interesting too.
Cool.
But multiple women have cried. And so when I think about what's exciting, the fact that so many have tried to engage, you know, so many initiatives for investing for women, and they were all marketing things, and they were patronizing marketing initiatives, mm. that we really were the first to take women seriously and to get that feedback.
Yeah.
Like, take me now, Lord, take mm-hmm. me now.
I'm good. You did, you're every day doing exactly what you set out to do with Elevest, mm-hmm. which is so incredible. I'm very grateful as a little finfluencer bebe in the space, super grateful to come into a financial world where I'm like, oh, there is a safe space for us. And they're safe. Mm-hmm. Every day there are more and more safe spaces where I can recognize myself and feel myself, put somewhere where Berna can grow into Bernadette and Sally can grow into Esther's, where I don't have to feel like I'm going to be harassed or harangued in a terrible way.
So. Or patronized or looked down on, exactly. You know. In fact, that previous generation of women, companies, by the way, I used to run. Mm-hmm. I ran Smith Barney in the day, Merrill Lynch.
Yeah.
Men, perfect product market fit, trusted their financial advisor more than their doctor. Women in the year after their partner's death left that advisor at a rate of 80 to 90%.
Wow.
Wow.
Secretly wanted to bounce the entire time, probably. Of like,
just, you know, didn't feel heard, they say, didn't feel honored.
Yes.
You know, felt like their questions maybe, you know, they just didn't get them answered. And so those businesses do a great job. And their financial advisors do a terrific job with women. But on the whole, we just haven't had that space for women and non-binary individuals.
Oh, amazing. Well, here's to LFS thriving and many, many more spaces coming up for us so that we don't. Sometime in the future, maybe again in Bernadette and Esther's future, it's no longer a matter of carving out these spaces for ourselves, but like coming into the breadth and width and being able to be wherever we want, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. Sally, thank you so, so much for joining us again for Loose Change. Once again, once everyone has listened to this and they're like, I would like to know where to put my adoption application in to be adopted by Auntie Sally, where can they find you? How can they support you? How can they support Elevest?
I have enough kids. I really do appreciate that. I am good. Okay, but fine. Come on over to Elevest and actually sign up for our newsletter. We have a couple times a week. We provide newsletters that can get sometimes pretty sparky and pretty feminist, yes. You know, because these money issues are issues of power, issues of feminism,
yes.
But also a lot of practical tips too. But visit us, download the app and visit us over at LFS.com.
Incredible. Thank you so much, Sally. Hopefully your journey to Esther and my journey to Bernadette, they cross again one day. Thank you so much.
For sure. They will. Take care.
That is it for this episode of Money Please, Loose Change. Now, be sure to rate, review, and follow our podcast on Apple and Spotify. Tell your friends about it. Tell your cashiers about it. And follow us and submit your questions to Wentz Happy Hour on Instagram or email us at moneyplease@betches.com. And follow me on Instagram @HeyBerna. Until next time, I am wishing you love, peace, and refunded fees.
Betches.